Okay, good morning to everybody. Welcome. Everybody has, I assume, the sheet, and we can make a start. I apologize in advance, I have new glasses, so I'm not exactly sure which way is up and which way is down right now. So if it seems that I have some difficulty reading, that's probably because I am having some difficulty reading. But I'll get used to them. That's what they told me anyway. And so if you give me a bit of leeway for this time, then we'll hopefully be better by next. We are in the second part of a fascinating topic, which is entering churches and mosques. Today, I really want to talk about that particular issue. Last week, to recap, we looked at the question of Christianity. And whether Christianity is indeed avodah zarah, whether it's idolatry. And we saw three basic approaches. The Rambam takes the approach that Christianity is clearly idolatrous. Clearly this applies to Catholicism, which he was familiar with in Orthodoxy, Russian Orthodoxy, Greek Orthodoxy. But it's probably a product of the Trinity, and therefore it would apply equally to Trinitarian Protestantism. We talked about that last week, although maybe not to Unitarian churches. Tosafot seems to take an unclear approach. There are different ways of reading Tosafot. Tosafot clearly, last week we saw, gave a heter to Jews to work in business with Christians, even though that would seem to be prohibited according to the Gemara, because the Jew in business with someone who is an Oged Avodah Zorah will inevitably, we said, the business will go sour. That was the expectation of Chazal. They'll end up in court, and the Jew will cause the non-Jew to make a vow in the name of his Avodah Zarah. Therefore, the Gemara says you cannot go into business, into partnership with the Avodah Zarah. And Tosfos there asks, but so how come we're always in partnership with Christians all over the place? And he says, because they're not really, it seems that he's saying the Avodah Zarah, because what they do is shituf. Shituf is not worshipping another god, but it's combining things together. And when they talk about the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, that's a shituf. And for non-Jews, says Tosfos, maybe that's permitted. Of course, for Jews, it would be prohibited. And therefore, one reading of Tosfos says that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. However, we saw last week the Nodeb Yehuda and others say not so fast. It could be that Tosfos is just saying there's a technical heter in the laws of vows that you're allowed to enter partnership with non-Jews, but actually, with Christians rather, but actually it's clearly still Avodah Zarah. We saw that was a strict reading Tosfot. And then we have the Me'iri. The Me'iri was something of a bolt out of the blue, and as I mentioned last week, the Me'iri was only discovered in recent decades, in the last 100 years or so. And the Me'iri seems to say that everything Chazal said about Ogdei Avodah Zarah was not applicable at all to Christians, because they are now subject to Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and they have laws and the rule of law, and therefore they're not pagans in the sense that Chazal was talking about. And clearly when it comes to business partnerships, or even when it comes to damages between Jews and non-Jews, he says we are all on the same playing field. He doesn't explicitly talk about going into a church, that he doesn't say, but he does seem to indicate that that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. I saw since last week a very interesting essay by Rabbi J. David Bleich, where Rabbi Bleich wants to try and prove that the Me'iri's understanding of Christianity was based on a very unusual Christian sect in the Middle Ages, which was a heretical within Christianity sect, and actually the Christianity the Me'iri is talking about is not mainstream Catholicism, as we thought, but some other variation of Christianity. And of course Rabbi Bleich has many proofs and a very academic and erudite discussion of that, and there's a reference in my sheet later to his article, and you need to follow his references to his other articles where he talks about. So that's an interesting idea. And there were those also who were unhappy to accept the Me'iri, generally speaking, because it appeared late in the halachic process. The Chasam Sofer said that these words of the Me'iri could never have been said by the Me'iri, that Christianity was not a Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Me'iri has not really been very popular. We'll talk about later whether people rely on it. So today we need to talk about the actual question. Can you go into churches for a ceremony like a wedding or a funeral for interfaith purposes? As we said last week, we invite non-Jews to our synagogues and they want to invite us back to their churches. For Darchei Shalom, if you're a communal leader, can you go? We'll see in full the letter of Rav Haskel Luchstein that he wrote in his own defense when he went to Obama's inauguration in 2008, and the RCA criticized him. We'll see what he says and why he went. Can you go for a concert or an exhibition to admire the art or the architecture or for study or music Or maybe to vote in a polling station if that's on church property. So let's have a look. Basically, it's only fair to say that the overwhelming body of modern poskim clearly say that it is completely prohibited to go into a church for any reason whatsoever, except maybe to save your life. And I say maybe because we'll see there's even a debate about that, although poskim say, yes, we will go to save your life. But for any other reason, it's fair to say that almost all of the poskim, and we'll see an example of them, clearly say it's prohibited. I don't think it's fair to put it across as an equal debate, that it's prohibited, that it's not allowed. There are, however, some permissive approaches, and it is undoubtedly the case that senior rabbinical figures have been going into churches for the last 150 years. And we'll see why, maybe, what they were based on, and therefore it is fair to say that there is another approach, but it is by far not the mainstream approach. The mainstream approach says it's hossa, and we'll see where that's coming from now. Let's have a look first at the people who say no, which is most of the people. Let's start with the Rambam, and we'll move that into the modern poskim. The Rambam says in number one, Lefi she'ein mutar b'shum panim li'kanes le'ir she'yesh bo avodah zarah. You cannot go into a city in which there is avodah zarah in the city. The kol she'ken ladurba, you certainly can't live there. The kol she'ken l'schorba, you certainly can't do business there. Lefikach yesh l'dat, you have to know, he says, she'kol ir mi'ari ha'uma ha'notrit, any city which is a Christian city, she'yesh lehem ba bama, where they have their own churches there, rotin olamah, what I mean is bet tfilatam, any city where there is a church, says the Rambam, ashehu bet avodah zarah belo safek, which is without question idolatrous, harizeh ha'ir, zo ha'ir ein mutar la'avor ba bekavana. You cannot even go through that city, pass through it on purpose. Kol shekein ladurba, you cannot go in to live there. Aval Hashem masarnu b'yedeihem, what can we do, he says. God has delivered us into their hands. Ad shenadur ba'areihem. And so we have to live in their cities. Bal korcheinu. We are forced. We have no choice but to live in their cities. V'kayem yudot to yudeinu harav, to fulfill our destiny, which God said, v'avartem sham Elohim maseh yidei Adam et va'aveh. That we are in Golas. And in Golas we are forced to do these kind of things, but in principle it will be asur. The im zehu din ir, and if this is the din of the city, kal v'chaymeh ledin beis avodah zarah atzmo, certainly the church itself, shekim'at asur lehavit bo. It's prohibited almost to even look at a church, says the Rambam. V'kol shekein lekarev elav, certainly to get close to it. V'kol shekein lehikanes alav. He doesn't leave you in any doubt whatsoever. And there are many people that that will testify that when they when they were children walking close to a church, even past the church, they will be pushed to the side, don't even go near the church, don't even walk within Dalet Amosim, the church entrance, and therefore the Rambam clearly has no question on the matter. Yes, sir. There are lots of churches in Jerusalem, and we will see a piece by Rav Herzog. When Rav Herzog had to address the issue, we'll see in a few minutes, as to whether we as a Jewish state, now that we have power over the Jewish state, before we had power, so what could we do? We were also in Golis under the Brits, under the Ottomans, whatever. But now we have power. I've heard someone ask the question in the 50s, are we allowed to allow churches, if there are Avodah Zarah, in the land of Israel at all? And he comes to the conclusion, yes, we are allowed to, for the purposes of Ava, etc., to allow the churches to exist. But he's going to talk about that soon. Fine, so the Rambam is in no doubt. The Ritva goes through an analysis of this in number two, and he says, actually, at the end, look on the second line from the bottom. He goes through the basic Yisurim. Rashi says it's chashad, that you're looking as though if you're going to a church, you're looking as though you're worshipping. The tam nachonhu. I agree with it, says the Ritva, the second line to the bottom, so number two. The haba gemara amrin, and the chashin and lechashda, afilu b'mokim sakana. That the gemara says we're worried about chashad. Chashad means maras ayin. That if you go into a church, people will think you're going in there to pray. He says, we're worried about that, even b'makom sakana. Kagon b'tzachi mayah, when you're desperate for water, d'ilo shatin, if you don't drink mayah, you might die. V'hi b'chlal, nevertheless, it is included b'avizrei avodah zarah sheyehareik v'al yavor. you have to die, says the Ritva, rather than going to the church. You can't go to a place of Odazara when it's known that this is a place where people only go to do a Odazara. Again, we saw in the Gemara, if there are other things that you might be going through for, you're passing through the town to get to the market, okay, if you're in the town, but he says the base of Odazara, he even says Yahari Val Yavor, the Shach, in number 3 on Yoredeya, brings down the Psak of the Rambam, which he quotes basically verbatim in Aleph, where he says the Rambam says under no circumstances may you go into a church. In Beth, he brings up the question of is it Yareg Val Yavor? Do you really have to die rather than go to a church? And there he says no. Beth, he says, because of Batur, B'Shem HaRashba, the Esha Afilu Al Iske Rabim, even if it's for the public need, Afilu Al Pikuach Nefesh, maybe even if Pikuach Nefesh, Asur Likenet for, you're also to do that, Kedam Rin Gabi Mayam Adkan, and he quotes them. Aval, he says, Haran Cholek, the Ran is, disagrees, the Betakanat Nefashot, when really is it, is a question of danger to life, Shari. Then it is Mutter, Dami the Ma'ayan, like the case of the Ma'ayan, we'll see the Ma'ayan too, where you're drinking from a water fountain which has an Avodah Zorah on it. The Nirika Oved, even though you look as though you're doing an Avodah Zorah. Ma She'ein Ken Hacha, in this case, She'einu Nira Ela Kahoylech La'avod. It does look as though you're actually going there to worship. Even with the case of the water fountain, we'll see that in a minute, that's also Mutter if you really need the water. And he concludes ultimately, and this is the fact that almost all poskim have followed, which is based on the Rambam, that it is offered to go into under all circumstances. However, we do not say that it is Yarig Val Yavor, we say that it is mutter to go into a church in order to save a person's life, and that's the psak of the Shach, and that's the psak of almost all modern day poskim. Yes, sir. Right. So that's already a good question, and there are people we'll see soon who've asked senior poskim for various reasons if they can go into a church, and they said yes. We'll see why, and they've been told to go in with their kippah on, dafka, because there's less of a maris ayin. I used to have this shaila when I was a lawyer many years ago. I had to eat in many of a trafe restaurant with clients. And I had my little dish of, you know, chopped up cucumbers and tomatoes and things while everybody else was tucking into their, you know, rabbit and whatever they were eating many times. I asked many shilas on the issue from different kinds of poskim, and everyone said absolutely, it was completely mutter. I have to be out with clients, etc. And I had a checklist of things I sent to the restaurant. I used to fax them in advance. In those days it was faxes. Please do this and this, but not this and this, etc. And I was told without any question to definitely wear my kippah. And to definitely look as Jewish as I could be, okay? Because then there's less maris ayin. Why would the guy be sitting in such a treif restaurant wearing a kippah if he was really eating treif, etc.? Once, actually, it happened to me in one of these restaurants. One of my clients looked at me and said, look, you know, we've been going out for lunches. Lunches were obviously a big thing professionally. We've gone out many times and you always eat the same thing. And I said, well, yes, you know, I do. She goes, I assume this is for religious reasons, that you eat cucumbers and half a cucumber and tomato. And I said, that's correct. She said, well, I hope you don't mind me asking, but if this is what you eat for religious reasons, why aren't you a lot thinner? I said, Taka, that's a good cash. That is a good cash. So, but you're right. The Maris Ayin angle can be mitigated maybe by what you're wearing. And in number 4, just go over the page. The Sefer Chassidim brings down an interesting two examples. He says here, Yehudi Echad. There was one Jew, Halach B'chatzer Avodah Zarah. He went into the courtyard of the Avodah Zarah of the church. Ukushiyatza Shama Baskol, and when he went out, he heard a Baskol, he heard a voice, Shamra that said, V'oitzi Shilachta Achre Gavecha. You throw me behind you. And he fasted all his life. He was so traumatized by that. And he brings another case, Sefer Chassidim, this is from Rishonim already. Ish Echad, well there was another fellow, Halach Beveit Avodah Zarah, he actually went into the church. V'nischarat, and then he had charota. V'sha'al l'zachin l'hoirot lo, and he asked for a sack, what should he do afterwards? Ma la'asot. Amaloh, and he was told, ba'oit ha'yam, b'chol shana, it's a fast every the year, on the anniversary of the day that he went into a church, he should fast, and that's what he did. So we can see a lot of negativity here to going into churches because of the Maris Ayin. And the truth is, whether you're going in for the architecture or the art, etc., maybe there will be the same Maris Ayin. It's a church. Maybe it will be a different Maris Ayin if it was a night and everyone knew there was no concert, etc. But there was no service, it was just a concert. But no one really says that in the mainstream poskim. They say the Maris Ayin applies throughout. There may be something of an issue of pikuach nefesh, which we need to deal with now. Now, obviously, pikuach nefesh, in the classic cases, is someone was desperate for water and they ran into the church to drink from the water. Or someone was running for their life and they had to run to the church for sanctuary. That clearly is pikuach nefesh. But does it go more, broader than that? Look at number five. The Shulchan Aruch clearly paskins, mishen is chayv misa, someone who is liable to death, mutter libroach, so the people are chasing him, and he's allowed to escape, lebeis avodas kachavim lehatzilet na'atzmo. He clearly paskins, like we saw, it's not yarek val yavo, you can run into a church in order to do this. Now build this together with the Rambam in number 6, where he gives a different din of chukat ha'goy. We talked about chukat ha'goy when it came to Thanksgiving, but look what he says here. This is nothing to do with churches per se, but look at what he says in the 6. Yisrael shehaya karov lemalchut, a Jew who was in government, close to the government. And he has to stay, he has to be and work near to the king and to the government officers. And it's embarrassing, because he doesn't look like them. He's wearing Jewish clothes. Okay? He is allowed to wear non-Jewish clothes, even though the Rambam said this was an Issa d'Oraita of Chukat HaGoy. He was very strict. We saw a Jew has to look like a Jew and cannot dress in any way like a non-Jew. So in this case, this Jew can dress like a non-Jew. Ula galeach, and he can shave. Keneged panav, on his face. Kederech Sheheinov says. He's allowed to do this. This Jew, this court Jew, who is in the inner circle. And the Beis Yosef asks why. If this is an Issa d'Oraita, how is this Jew allowed to do that just to get close to the king? Look at number 7. It says the Beis Yosef. Since midoraisa, all these things hanachmili, all these things are also midoraisa. Umil kinavi, and you get malchus for them. Chukat agoy, according to the Rambam. Heich haya koach b'yad chachamim lahatir isur Torah. How could the chachamim have the power to allow something which is prohibited according to the Torah? The kerubi amalchus, just because you want to get a job working as a lobbyist in D.C. or whatever it is that you're doing today, you want to be Karov Lamalchus, so you have to dress in that way. So he answers, V'yesh lama, interesting answer. V'mishum hatzalus Yisrael, yesh koach b'yadam lahatir. It's not because of direct pikuach nefesh, but because of hatzalat Yisrael. They may one day be in a position to save the Jewish people. Because sheyesh Yisraelim keruvim lamalchus. Because where says the Beis Yosef, when there are Jews close to the government, omdim b'peret, they can step into the breach, levatel hagezeros, and to change the ruling and to cancel out the decrees. Meaning we need those people there in order to be there when they're needed. Okay? And they can't run in because it's too late when it's too late. And in fact, Rabbi Broid here has an interesting letter that he wrote to the RTA after the whole Rabbi Luchstein controversy, which we'll see soon. He says an interesting comment on this particular Beis Yosef. It is extremely important, number 8, to understand what Beis Yosef claims as a matter of halacha. Of course it is permissible to violate almost any area of halacha in order to save those in immediate, life-threatening danger. This much we know. But halacha also recognizes that sometimes the only way to save those in danger is through a long-term prophylactic strategy, which is really interesting. Because we don't normally say this with pikuach nefesh. For example, on Shabbat, you're allowed to break Shabbat with pikuach nefesh. But it's pikuach nefesh lefaneinu. It's someone who's right here, right now, and needs treatment. You cannot be mechalel Shabbos to work on Shabbat in case you discover the cure for cancer that will save millions of people in 15 years from now. That you can't do. Maybe you would. Maybe that day would be the day you discovered accidentally the cure. You can't. That's not called pikuach nefesh. Even though you could save millions potentially, it's not lefaneinu. Here, seems to be a little bit different. Even though it's not lefaneinu, there's a long-term strategy. For example, one's long-term involvement is necessary in certain times of politics to allow a person access and influence in a time of need. In many of the most crucial areas of politics, if one is not close all the time, it will be impossible to become close when the need arises. Thus a Jew may join the government service and wear, despite the Torah prohibition, Gentile clothes every day for decades, so that if the day comes when he can save God's chosen people, he's already wearing the right clothes and is in the right place at the right time. This conduct is mutter. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha directly, and as far as I know, no one significant argues with this formation. The Taz and the Lavush limit the allowance to sins that are not explicit in the Torah. Chukas Agoy is not explicit that you can't wear non-Jewish clothes. The Rambam understands it that way. For example, eating treif would be excluded. There's no heter to eat pork in the White House just because that brings you closer. Actually, it's probably not going to serve pork in the White House anymore. I don't know, because everybody there seems to be Jewish now. But eating treif will be excluded. But going into a church, a rabbinic prohibition, he says, which is interesting, because some learn it that way and some learn it's a Torah prohibition, would be acceptable under this principle. This rationale, I am sure, explains why many a chief rabbi has attended events in churches, which is what Westminster Abbey is, and why Rav Shai Yishuv Cohen, who died just a few months ago, was sent to the funeral of the Pope, which is a Catholic mass. These are not isolated incidences. History is replete with similar examples. And he wants, therefore, to say that for some people, there may indeed be a heter of being Korav Lamalchus, and that is what has justified the behavior of so many senior rabbinic figures who represent the Jewish community in those ways, like the chief rabbis, like Rav Shai Yoshev, to go to churches, which is an interesting point, because these people for sure have been in the churches, and how did they allow that, given the clearly prohibitive rulings that we've seen so far? But leaving those people aside, there are very few people in this room, I think. Maybe, I don't know, you all maybe have secret lives where you're actually saving Klal Yisrael without us knowing. Maybe, you never know. But who knows who's in the Mossad here? Not me, that's for sure. Although I'd say that even if I was. The fact is that what could be our heter? Because we're not going to be Korav Lamalchus, and therefore is there any heter to go in? Rav Moshe Feinstein says clearly, no, there is none. Let's look at some contemporary rulings. Let's do these quite quickly. Let's look on the top of page 3. Rav Moshe has a shaila. They wanted to rent out a church hall to play football for the kids in Cheder. They're not going in the church. They're just playing football in the Migrash, in the playground there. He says, okay, Masach ke yeladim b'ulam, in their hall there. Hashayach l'tfilah. Actually, he doesn't say tfilah. He says tifla. He won't write tefila when it comes to the church. He wants to write tefila on purpose because it's like a play on words of tiflut, etc. Da'akum. Uvedava litzchoy giladim b'tzchoy kadur b'ulam ha-shaykh le-tefila da'akum. You want to ask me about hiring a hall for them to play football. Zadai asur. Av she'ein sham surot. Even if there's no idols there, there's no crucifixes there. Because he brings a potik. Be'erchak me'aleha darkecha. He will be brought from Mishlei. Stay well away from this. Zom minut, and he quotes the Gemara. This is talking about heresy. The people who are Masit, people who are evangelicals and trying to convert, are the people, the Hamedichim, and the people who are trying to entice the children to Christianity. Haheim harben in Zion shambi yoter. That's where they hang out, he says. Did you think they don't have an agenda that they want to rent a hall to the Jewish children? They want to be there to talk to the children. You have to teach the children. They have to be far away from there. You have to teach them this is a place which is mushukat mutu'av. You don't go close to there. But what if you need it for Talmud Torah? You need to put a cheder there. You actually need to teach Torah there. Ein lahatir. You know no heter. Ubayosa kesed yasigu ezimakum. Literally, you'll do fundraising. You'll find another place that you can do the Talmud Torah, but not in a church, not in a church hall, not even to play football. Rav Moshe is very strict on this. Rav Avadia Yosef has a long piece here. This is only a small extract from his tshuva, where he brings down. Let's read a few extracts of this. I've actually numbered the paragraph a little bit here. This is my numbering to make it a little bit easier for us to find our way around. Look at what he says here, number 10. Sheila, im mutar liyudi levaker beknisia shel notrim. Are you allowed to go to a church? And he says tshuva. The second of Avodah Zarah Mubar Sheyesh Isur Afilu Hitkarei LePetach. You can't even go close to the door, and he brings the Rambam, and the Bshur, the Shulchan Aruch, everybody, he says the same thing. And in paragraph 2, he says, the Chassav HaRamah, and the Ramah writes, that even though the non-Jews don't have a prohibition on shituf, well, lechayre im advarim kapashtan, if you take the Ramah at face value, he says, ain the knisiyah shelahem din beis avodah zara, that it's maybe it's not mamash avodah zara, shereheim shatzim, he brings a whole shituf argument, but then he says, but actually, that's not true, because the Noda Yehuda says that really the Ramah is not saying that Christianity is allowed, he's just saying, you can go into business. And then look at paragraph 3. This is something new we haven't seen. Well, Bishara Shushu is Binyan Tzion, which is the Binyan Tzion is Rav Etlinger, Nachon, rather I think Rav Yaakov Etlinger. He says the following. Im mutar liknot bayit shishimesh liknitiyah shel notrim. Are you allowed to buy a property that used to be a church? Amanat lahotcho lebet kneh. And make it into a shul. Okay? We see many modern day shuls that were used to be churches, okay? I used to, in Leeds, there used to be one that we used to go to. The Torah, the Tefillah. Ve'ishid lasso, and he says, no, it's osa. She'afal people they know achloi nitzavu ala shituf, even though the non-Jews are not prohibited from shituf, from joining things together with God, v'lo nishtamshu b'knitia l'shem avodah zara mamash, even though they never used this building for mamash avodah zara, mikol makom hare hitpalalu ba'la elil shalahem. They for sure did their worship to their God. The Ha'omel Avodah Zarah, Eli Atan, if you even say to an Avodah Zarah, you are my God, the Makabel Eloah, Afilu Shalom Befanav, Nefshav La'ovid Avodah Zarah. He says, it doesn't help. I don't care if they technically aren't offered to do Shittav. They were doing their foreign pagan worship there, their Christian worship there, and as far as I'm concerned, he said, that was Avodah Zarah. Va'od. Shemashu b'nei Noach, Eino Mitzavan al Shittuf, Lo Yel Adav al Yisrael. And what does it help Jews? The fact that they don't have any prohibition on Shittuf, maybe, what does that help us? Shemashu b'nei Noach, we are prohibited on Shittuf, so as far as we're concerned, there was a Avodah Zorah there. In Jewish terms, it was a Avodah Zorah. So he says you cannot have a shul that used to be a church, which is interesting, because that's something that many people would paskin the other way. Then he brings in number 4, the Ani Tama Alagon Hamari Asat. Here we see another view which we haven't seen yet. He brings the Ma'ari Asad, who says, "Behu Yehuda le'yale, asher nasa kavla hakel b'nidonene." He was a little bit more lenient in allowing people to go to churches. We'll see why that may be later. Mishum she'elish alehem lo nefshav avodah zara. It's not really avodah zara. Udvarav niflam imenu. I don't understand what he's talking about. Sheharim avu b'divrei Rambam. Then he brings the Rambam. The Christianity for sure is avodah zara. Then he brings the Munkatcher, Rav the Minchas Elozer, who says absolutely not under no circumstances. Then he brings the Chidah, look in paragraph 6. Because of Marana Chidah, B'Sefer Brit Olam, B'Shem Mar Zikno Haga'on Reb Avram Azulai, he brings, the Chidah brings his own grandfather, Mechaba HaSefer Chesel Avram, She'anichnas Lebeis Avodah Zorah, Hari Hu B'Kanfei HaSitra Achra Shel HaTuma. You enter at your own risk. When you enter a church, of course, Svardi a little bit more Kabbalistically oriented, says you enter under the influence of the Sitra Achra, the dark side, Umatamim oto ma'at ma'at, and it gets you slowly, slowly. Interesting. I'm not a Kabbalist, so to ask your local Kabbalist to how this actually works. V'lo yada, you don't realize kibanasha adava, that you're taking your life into your own hands by going in the church, and then he brings other people as well. And in the end, he concludes, looking number 8, v'sikum. It's always good when Rav Avadya writes 28-page tshuva, and at the end he writes 2 lines and says v'sikum. It's tempting just to read that, and sometimes the temptation is too much to resist. V'sikum, hadavar barur. He said it's totally clear. She'asu behechlet levakei b'knisyud shel notrim. You're not allowed to go into a church. V'al madrichei tayarut. And I want to tell tour guides, he says. Israeli tour guides. Lishamer ulizaher ma'od levali kashlupa. Don't fall into this trap, because of course if you take the Israeli tour guiding exam, it's Christianity is a very, very significant part of that. And it's kimat impossible not to be involved in this. V'lo yachshilu yehudim mevakrim, and don't under any circumstances put other Jews that come to visit Israel, put them an assembling block before them. L'hovilam al knesset anoshim. Don't bring them into churches, don't go into churches. Rav Avadya is absolutely clear on that. Yes, sir.
If you break up
So the question is, if the church is now an abandoned church,
Well, the question is, how does bittel, if it really is avodah zarah, how does bittel work? Does the non-Jew have to do the bittel, or can the Jew do the bittel? It seemed from before, when the Rabbi Vadi was saying that a place that used to be a church can never be a shul, it's because at the end of the day, the non-Jews never, if you like, cancelled out avodah zarah. I don't know the exact inyan of the sugya in depth, and I've not gone into it in depth for this particular issue. Clearly there are those who are matir, and I assume that the heter is on the base of the avodah zarah, if it was ever avodah zarah, was mevutal, was cancelled out, they sold the church, they knocked it down. Clearly, if they knock the building down and build a new one, that's fine. But if they use the old building, I was really recently in Philadelphia, in two Jewish schools, both of which used to be churches. Very fine buildings, Jewish schools, but they used to be churches. So clearly there are those who will matter this. What's that? Yeah, Bridge Lane Beis HaMedrash. No, Neisrael, yes, it used to be, yes, that's right, it used to be a church, correct. A church hall. Basically, it's hard to find a shul that wasn't a church, is what you're saying. Staten Island Yeshiva, Christ College, which is now Paradise House. I don't know if it was a church, but I bet there was a chapel there. Right, so everyone seems to say no so far. Go over to page 4, please. Rav Moshe Feinstein, again here, says you're not allowed to go into a church, and he talks about the chatzer. What about the chatzer of a church? What about the courtyard of a church? If there's a voting booth there. So look what he says. Certainly can't go to the church, we've seen this. Even if you only get there to study the architecture. You know that was just there for decoration. You're not Kasva Shalom doing any of Avodah Zarah. He says, no, you can't go in. The Hadina Hatser, what about the vestibule or the hall, the shul hall, the church hall? There's nothing there. The only concern there is people will see you going into a church hall while it's still a church hall. So there, if there's another excuse that you're going through it to something else, or people might think you are, so there already will say it's mutter, based on the Ramah. But Gam Hashikasva Tosfos the Tzuris Lanoi mutter, when Tosfos said that the statues of the non-Jews were mutter, who dafka lanoi ba'alma. He's only talking about pure art. Ka'andarata. Like an andarata. It's an andarata. Like a monument of some kind. Shel malachim, of a king. V'tzorot shemekba'od, v'tmunot shemabatim. All of these things that are in the Italian architecture and art and statues, etc. Avalim nasu lenoi ha'avodah zarah. But if they were made in any way as a decoration for a base of avodah zarah, Tosis wasn't talking about that. So maybe you can go around the galleries and look at the statues. That's one thing. Can you own a statue? That's another question which we dealt with. Didn't we have a share on this? We talked about something similar. We talked about 2D and 3D images and painting and art. I'm sure we had a share. Does anyone remember? I'm sure we had a share on art. Okay. What about a mannequin? We talked about that then. I'm not getting into now. There are heterium to own a mannequin. Everyone has a little statues of Hasidim dancing. No, that's required as a part on the mantelpiece. So the question is, how is that mutter? We talked about that there. It is mutter, according to many poskim. But here we're talking about mamash, stuff which was made for avodah zarah. Okay? Or to decorate avodah zarah. He said that is osa, and therefore you have to be very careful about that too. Rav Moshe did give a heter to an architect who was designing plans to build a church. He says, Adkan, that you can do, because that's got nothing to do with the actual church service itself, but he would be machmir on people going into the church to fit air conditioning, windows, and things like that, but the plans were okay. The Titz Eliezer, similarly, I'm not going to read the whole thing in number 12, he clearly says the same thing, it is also to go into a church, and the same din of the chater, if there's no other explanation for being there. Rav Yehuda Henkin, also says it's prohibited to go into a church, interestingly, because you might have expected he might not have said that, but he does say that. Look what he says in number 13. Ika ha'avodah zarah hu hegishum shel ha'elokim. The idea is of making the physicality, turning God into a physical being in some way. That is the essence of avodah zarah. That's all in the Catholic Church. The Anglicans don't get a pass on this. The Anglican Church, he said, it also has the same problem.
Aval me'az levater nitshu ha'knesiot ha'protestantiot et ha'sigud le'talamim. Okay? As I afilu d'mut ha'ish ala tzalav eino avodah zarah. He says, but the truth is that in the Protestant church, even the cross itself is not an avodah zarah, and even if there's a crucifix, which the Protestants don't normally use, that itself is not an avodah zarah anymore. But nevertheless, most of the Protestant churches still believe in the Trinity. And they still have some kind of mass. And since they accept Jesus as some kind of a God, that's part of Trinitarian belief, that Jesus is a part of God. You can't go into the churches. Rak ha-Unitarians. Only the Unitarians, or Miktsat Acherim, and some others, Eino Ma'aminim Be'elhu Tashal Yeshu, they don't believe that Yeshu was a god, or Knesiot Shelahem, Eino Basi Avodah Zarah Umutali Kanes Letocham. Unitarian churches, he says, you can go into, Shelo B'Shat Tfilatam, but not during the service. Kamo Shemutil Kanes LeMizgah. And we'll see, or you can go into a mosque, but not during the service, he says. Ela She'ein La'asot Kein Mishum Chashad, but you still shouldn't go into Unitarian churches, even though technically it's mutter, ki ha'olam eino mavdil ben knesia leknesia. Because most people just don't know their Christian theology that well, and they'll see you're in a church, and they don't make any difference between Catholic, Unitarian, Anglican, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Wesleyan. They're not really up on that. And therefore, in principle, Rav Henkin says you also can't go into a church. Esher Unitarian would be less serious, but nevertheless practically is prohibited. And this has been the practice of many people. Rav David Cohen prohibited anyone from attending President Reagan's funeral back in the day. Rav Soloveitchik famously ruled that it was offered to watch Kennedy's funeral on the TV. He said, just as it's prohibited for a Jew to enter a church, so too is it prohibited for it to bring a church into his house. The senior YU postgame, Rav Schechter, Rav Willig, uphold this. I don't know whether it's a halachic thing or a hashkafic thing, but everyone agrees that he said that. The YU postgame have ruled, and I brought you the link down at the bottom of the page, that it is offered to watch, based on this Rav Soloveitchik, any religious ceremony on TV, the Pope's funeral, the royal wedding. Okay, sorry, I will come to the hetzerim in a minute. So far, you're not having a good time. I brought you also the Kaf K. Kaf K has a very nice piece. I brought you a link in the actual article itself, where they say they give a whole three or four pages of contemporary psakim, mostly from Bravelsky, who was obviously one of their senior postkim, about how to deal with issues of churches and entering, etc. They are pretty much across the board prohibitive in the way that we've seen before. They even say there that it is offered to listen to any music played in a church, even if it's recorded, which is a very significant prohibition. Almost all the Bach and a lot of the Haydn and quite a bit of the Mozart that's played. So I'm not saying that everyone passes that way. But I'm just telling you that there's a pretty much a strong negative feeling about all of this. Now, let's look at maybe some more permissive approaches, because I think you're ready to hear them. Are we allowed to rely on Tosfos? Well, we don't really know what Tosfos exactly says, because there are some opinions we saw, the Nodeb Yehud and others, that say that Tosfos never allowed any heterim for Christians in Avodah Zarah. It's just going into business. So now you can certainly do going into business, give them to house. But it's not possible that you can ever rely on Tosfos to go into a church. As for the Meiri, this was rejected by almost all the mainstream postgame. They have not gone with the Meiri, and I brought Rabbi Bleib's analysis of the Meiri in the bottom that I said maybe he was even talking about a different Christianity. However, there have been many other people over the last 150 years who have gone into churches, and let's look at some of them. Go over to page 5. This is an interesting extract from a book called Frankfurt on the Hudson. Which was a book by a Professor Steve Lowenstern, about the Washington Heights Yekesha community. And I brought you the book at the bottom. It's Frankfurt on the Hudson, the German Jewish community of Washington Heights. Stephen Lowenstein, it's a book that was published. And he quotes there an interesting thing from Rav Yosef Kalbach. Have a look at what he says. The liberal attitudes towards secular culture took forms in German Orthodoxy that were inconceivable in Eastern Europe.
One memoir tells of the excursions of high school students that the Orthodox rabbi, Joseph Carlebach, who was a bit more liberal than the Breuer family, he writes down here, led to the Rhineland. This was back in Germany, what they did there. Quote, he spent a full day with the boys in the Cathedral of Cologne, expertly explaining every detail of the statues, the glass windows, the ornaments, and the intricacies of the Catholic faith and ritual. But I was not allowed to participate, says this fellow who's writing this, being a Cohen who may not be under the same roof with a corpse or with tombs. Interestingly, even though they were all non-Jewish tombs, he nevertheless, this little kid was Machmer. Who was his kid? Chaim H. Cohen, okay, who wrote this about Rav Carlebach, and he writes in the footnote, I relate this episode because I think it is significant for the portrait of a man. On the one hand, the freedom from preconceived notions of the inaccessibility of non-Jewish places of worship and non-Jewish ritual art, and on the other hand, the strict and unbending adherence to the letter of the Jewish law. He was very halachic, he says, but he let us go to the churches. When questioned about the manifest discrimination between injunctions he honored and injunctions he disregarded, he would readily reply that the prohibitions relating to non-Jewish places and articles of worship applied only to heathen and not to theistic religions. That's the Meiri, the Furash. And then any later extensions of the rule prompted by the then justified fear of conversion to Christianity, a fear that no longer existed. Interesting. So he says, let's take him at his word, Chaim Cohen, that Rav Carlebach took them into churches in Germany and said, look, we're Somich on the Meiri, and people who didn't like the Meiri, it's because we were frightened of conversion, and we're not frightened of conversion anymore. I brought you in the bottom, Rav Bleich has some sharp words to say, not sharp, but analysis about how reliable Chaim H. Cohen is, and how religiously particular in Halacha Rav Yosef Carlebach was. You can read Rav Leif's article, because I let him speak for himself. There is a tshuva of Rav Eliezer Berkowitz, which was published a few years ago. It was until the early 2000s it wasn't published. And he writes about tshuvas churches as follows, number 15. If one were concerned about the beauty, etc. of churches, there is no question that the Jewish people have already conquered the desire for Avodah Zarah many generations ago. In particular, this is true regarding Christianity, from which we have suffered over the hundreds of years. It is obvious that the vast majority of the people do not feel even a hint of an inclination in its direction. The situation was completely different in the Middle Ages, says Rav Berkowitz. Jews at the time were under constant pressure from the church to convert. Through conversion to Christianity, they would have been able to escape persecution and killings. In such a situation, it was possible to understand that Jews in those days who visited churches would have been, even unwittingly, exposed to constant seduction. That's what Rav Moshe said before. And similarly, there was a concern that they will be influenced by the glory and wealth of the church. Today, the situation is completely different. It is only a tiny minority of the Jews who find any value in Christianity. For example, the terrible group Jews for Jesus in the United States. Jews today are not influenced at all from the glory and the icons in the church. It is exactly that glory and all that's connected to it in modern life that it is an abomination to them. And he writes at the end of his tshuva, which of course was in Hebrew, I quote at the bottom, number 16, Mikol hatamim hanitzkaron le'el. For all the reasons, says Rav Berkowitz, I've said above, nidma li she'ein shum chashash iser levaker b'makumot ha'kidoshim. It's no iser at all to enter the holy places shel ha'notrim of Christian religion. Mitach hit inyanut, because of investigating or studying historis on a historical nature, or umanatit, or on a of art, or madait, or science, umikalsha came to Eretz Israel. He says even less of a problem in Israel, because in Israel there will be even less connection to Christianity than in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore this tshuva of Rav Berkowitz unquestioningly allows people to visit churches for art, for culture, for science, for study, for academic purposes.
You're allowed real estate. You're allowed to buy from a church.
That's business. That's for sure. That will you be allowed to buy from a church in order to do business with a church. That already in the Middle Ages was. They even did businesses in selling crucifixes to the Christians. And someone told me at the end of the shir last week that it's well known, I take him at his word, in Rome that many of the families that are selling the crucifixes are Jews, either from Israel or long-standing Roman families. I went to the Colosseum with my son when he was a teenager, and there were all these guys dressed up as Roman soldiers standing around the Colosseum for the tourists. Every single one of them was speaking Hebrew. Every single one. Everyone was an Israeli.
An Israeli dressed as a Roman outside the Colosseum. If you can't see the ironies in that, then... Yeah. So, Rav Berkovitz has this tshuva. Rav Bleich is quick to say in his article, Rav Berkovitz is completely wrong, and he disagrees completely with his analysis. And of course, you'd have to read Rav Berkovitz's tshuva, but that tshuva exists, and Rav Berkovitz was obviously a senior halachic figure, although a very controversial one, and one that many people would not be prepared to rely on this issue. I'm not going to read through all of Rav Herzog in number 17. Rav Herzog is dealing there with tolerance of Christian minorities in Eretz Israel, and he has an article here in Tchumin, the very early days of Tchumin, that was reproduced there, and he says there that basically you can allow churches to exist in Eretz Israel, but certainly not to go into them. And he says there that the only reason we can maybe allow churches to exist in Eretz Israel, apart from the clamor which would break out if we tried to do otherwise, is because maybe you couldn't rely on the Meiri. And he says there, but not to go into a church, only to allow a church to continue to function in Israel, maybe you can rely on the Meiri. And also, of course, Rav Kook himself, who ruled, we saw last time, that the Meiri was indeed the view that he wished to follow. So we saw Rav Berkovitz. Rav Shlomo Riskin, who often has something different to say about many things than other people, but is an important figure to take account of, he has, or maybe I should say had, a piece on the All Torah Stone website, because even though I found a screenshot of this piece, it doesn't seem to be on the website anymore. But maybe I just couldn't find it. He says in number 18, evangelical churches do not have icons or statues, and it is certainly permissible to enter evangelical churches. Catholic and most Protestant churches do have icons as well as paintings and sculptures. If you enter the church in order to appreciate the art with an eye towards understanding Christianity and the differences between Judaism and Christianity so that you can hold your own in discussions with Christians, and of course he's very involved in those discussions himself, then it is permissible. Participating in a church religious service is forbidden, unless it is for learning purposes, or unless it will be a desecration of God's name if you don't attend, as in the case of Chief Rabbi Sachs, attendance at Prince William's wedding. So obviously this statement is a fairly recent one, because when was the royal wedding? 2011? Something like that? And therefore, clearly, Rav Riskin issued that. Now, he there goes further than anyone we've seen, because he says you can even go to a service if the service is there for learning purposes or if it would be a Chilul Hashem. But again, that's not a mainstream halachic approach, but I wanted to bring Rav Riskin. On the subject of the chief rabbis, let's talk about Obama's inauguration. Now, I don't know what Donald Trump is going to do in a month and a bit for his inauguration, whether they're going to have a church service or not. It would seem a little anachronistic for him to have a church service, but you never know what's going to be. But Obama did. President Obama had some kind of a service, and Rabbi Lookstein went to the service. And the RCA issued a strong statement afterwards criticizing Rabbi Lookstein, which he then responded to, and which the RCA then pulled back from and gave a much softer approach, saying that maybe it wasn't quite as bad after all. Let's look at what Rav Lookstein says in his letter, because I think a lot of this is informative for someone like him. The RCA recently issued a press release critical of my participation at the National Cathedral on the morning after Barack Obama's inauguration. By the way, this is all in the public domain. I'm not revealing any secrets here. I've brought you a link to an article where all of these letters are published in Hakira Journal. I write to explain why I did participate in the service, even though it was in the National Cathedral, an Episcopalian church. Now, I'm not very up on Episcopalian theology, but it is a Protestant church, which I assume is Trinitarian. Is that correct?
No, it's Catholic.
Right, it's high church, as close as you can get to Catholic. Fine. So it's a long way from Unitarianism. It's very Trinitarian and almost Catholic. Fine. First, I am very much in agreement with the RCA's view, derived from the writings of the Rav, Soloveitchik. I oppose interfaith dialogue and theological compromise. Interfaith dialogue and theological compromise. Indeed, I have been in the rabbinate more than 50 years, and I've never participated in such an event. I follow these guidelines throughout my tenure as president of the now defunct Synagogue Council of America. Nevertheless, I felt not only that it was permitted to participate in this event, but proper for someone in the responsible Orthodox rabbinate, and indeed necessary. Here was my explanation for my colleagues.
The event was not an interfaith dialogue or meeting. It was an invitation from the new president of the United States, a man of incredible importance to the fate of our holy community in the land of Israel, and here, these are interesting words now, we can see 8 years down, to meet him in prayer. Many clergy were invited, and I felt that the interests of our Orthodox community would be hurt if no one from our community participated. This was written actually just at the time in 2009. The Shulchan Aruch notes that a person who needs to be close to the government may even wear Torah-prohibited garments of a Gentile in order to represent the Jewish community. Well, we saw that. The prohibition to enter a church is grounded in the appearance of impropriety rather than actual impropriety, maris ayin. Indeed, wearing garments of Gentiles is a Torah prohibition, meaning wearing Chukat HaGoy clothes is worse than going in the church, he says, and this is generally thought to be a rabbinic one. It is well known that many chief rabbis of England have gone to Westminster Abbey when summoned there by the king or the queen, and many other great rabbis have done the same to represent our community. By the way, in terms of chief rabbis, I looked into this a little bit. The precedent actually was Rabbi Herman Adler, who in 2002 was invited, in 1902 was invited to the coronation of Edward VII. Which took place on Shabbat morning in Westminster Abbey. Shul finished early that morning to allow Rabbi Adler to walk down to Westminster Abbey. I don't know where he was, maybe Marble Arch or Great Portland Street or one of these places. And he walked down to, with a police escort, with the bobbies escorting him in 1902, down to Westminster Abbey. And he set the precedence in many ways for chief rabbis to go to these events. And since him, all the chief rabbis went to those events. Rabbi Hertz did, Rabbi Brody did, Rabbi Jacobowitz went to numerous events in churches, and of course Rabbi Sacks himself was most recently spotted at the royal wedding, etc. Therefore, there is a long precedent, and he's quite right in saying that is the case. The chief rabbis of Israel have engaged in similar activities, and most recently Chief Rabbi Haifa of Shai Yishuv Cohen was involved in similar activities. In fact, he attended the funeral of the late Pope John Paul II. Rabbi Michael Broyd told me, and Rabbi Broyd confirmed this later, that he was once asked by the Israeli government to represent the government of Israel on a very serious matter at an event in a church during a time of worship. It's a bit like nod, nod, wink, wink. Nobody really knows what this was. He spoke to the Tzitz Eliezer about this issue. The Tzitz Eliezer being someone who clearly prohibited going into churches. And the Tzitz Eliezer told him directly that if it was a matter of significant importance to the Israeli government, then he should go, wearing his kippah and looking as rabbinic as he could. Of course, such events are few and far between, and in most situations, I and other RCA members would never participate in such events. But I feel that Orthodox participation in this important national event and the importance and the opportunity to say a few words directly to the President of the United States and begin to develop a relationship with the most powerful man in the world is a chance that our community can ill afford to miss. Indeed, when I spoke to President Obama, I thanked him for his support of Israel, and I urged him to remember the unforgettable statement he made in Sderot, where he said, if anybody would shoot rockets into my house while my daughters were sleeping, I would do anything in my power to make sure they wouldn't do it again. He hasn't said that more recently. The president responded with a clear assent. Maybe this, good point, maybe this will save a life or two in the future, says Rav Lukstein. Maybe it will not. But I felt that it was not an assignment that I could or should turn down. Interesting point. There were, by the way, those who responded to Rav, this is already in the politics, to Rav Lukstein, that, okay, Nachinami, there has to be a court Jew that goes, that's close to the government. But who said that you are that person? Maybe, in fact, they were said at the time, maybe it should have been Malcolm Holmline that went to the inauguration, because he was the man, at least at that time, with the connections in every single place, or one of the OU lobbyists, who said Rav Lukstein. But anyway, Rav Lukstein said, I'm a senior rabbinic figure in the country, and I feel that I should go. Right, and I don't know if he was invited specifically, or if he got himself invited, but I don't know, maybe, yes. Ah, yes, that's true, yes. Interesting, because are there going to be repercussions? Rav Avadi, you should just know, there's history here as well. Rav Avadi Yosef, before he came to Israel, he was the deputy chief rabbi of Egypt in the 1940s. And the chief rabbi of Egypt was invited to go to the funeral of a very important Christian dignitary that was in Egypt.
and the chief rabbi was not able to go, so he told Rav Avadia Yosef, his deputy, you must go and represent me at the funeral. Rav Avadia classically looked into it and said, I'm not going. He said, well, if you don't go, there's going to be an international incident. And Rav Avadia said, I'm not going. There's nothing to talk about. And he didn't go. And there wasn't an international incident. I mean, there were lots of international incidents in Egypt, but not because of that. So it's very hard to gauge what's going to be if you don't go, etc. It's impossible to know. And of course, if you get it wrong, it could be quite serious. But it's impossible to know before the event.
Room yesterday, a from tour guide told us that he'd asked the Shayla on this question, and
yes,
that he could lead non-Jewish groups into,
yes,
a church.
Yes.
And he was told that yes, he can, as long as he wears his kippah.
Right.
In other words, the Marathayan aspect.
Right. That would be based on Rav Berkovitz's tshuva, as we saw before. Just a few other anecdotal issues. Rav Gershon Lopion in London gave a heter for Family Week, which was a regular event, to daven in a Quaker meeting room. Are you there? We have someone here who was in the Quaker meeting room. And other things we've talked about as well. Just a few other points before we finish. We saw that entering church property, not the church, for other reasons, is technically mutter. The Ramah brings in number 20 that actually, if you're not going into the church, but only the chatzer, and there are other excusable reasons for you being there, then it's technically mutter, but best avoided, he says. And based on this, there is a heter to vote in a church hall, although it's interesting, is it possible to avoid it? Could you take an absentee ballot out in order to avoid going into the church hall to vote, or find somewhere else? Would it be necessary to drive, 20 miles down the road to vote somewhere else? I don't know if you have to vote in a specific place in America. Okay, so that you can't do, but you could do an absentee ballot. And the question is, would you have to do that to avoid going into the church hall, even though that's mutter, if you like, the dievet? Maris Ayin we talked about to some degree. Let's look at the last page, just in the last minute. Let's talk about mosques, because we haven't talked about mosques. Let's talk about Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. Now, obviously, we're not going to do this justice in 3 minutes, but in a nutshell, the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva in number 24 where he says, actually, even though many people say that Islam is not an idolatrous religion, you are still not allowed to go into a mosque under any circumstances. And he says, and he brings a ram. The ram's very important there. Maybe just look on the third line, a quote, the ram. The ram's one of the Rishonim. L'madnu mikan shehakdoshim shel hakutim. The saints, even of the Samaritans, okay? And the Samaritans say that they're the real Jews, of course, but we don't hold that. Even the saints of the Samaritans, v'gam hamashuga shel hayishma'elim, I'm not going to translate that. Afal pi she'ein toyen achreihem la'asot elohut. Even though these people don't for one second ascribe divinity, the Muslims would be offended incredibly if you suggested that they ascribe divinity to Muhammad. Since, says the Ram, they bow down before these people, it's a divine service. Din avodah zarah yesh lahem l'chol davar. Yisrael avodah zarah. And therefore, he says the Ram has a shita, which is not followed by most people, that actually any other religion where the people create a whole service and worship out of that religion, even if it's not technically idolatrous, as far as we're concerned, it's avodah zarah, and you can't go into any of their houses. Now, this would basically prohibit any entrance to any other religious place, whether or not their theology was avodah zarah, and he says that about mosques. Rav Avadia Yosef clearly disagrees. He says in number 25, it is mutter to enter a mosque. It is even mutter to daven in a mosque. And he says, we see this all the time in Maris HaMachpelah. I davened mincha in a mosque back in the day when Maris HaMachpelah was still mixed, where there were Jews and Muslims together in the same house. I remember going there many times. You daven mincha and the non-Jews, the Muslims are davening, whatever they're davening next to you, and you're davening mincha and they're davening their thing, and they were all in the mosque and everyone was davening together. Okay? And I was there on a yeshiva visit. I was not there in a personal capacity. Yeah. In airports, that's right. I've davened mincha in Heathrow Airport many times, and there have been all sorts of interesting things going on all around me. I'm bowing, they're bowing, we're all bowing. Just a word at the end, about Buddhism and Hinduism. One would have to, unless one is going like the Tzitz Eliezer, in which case it's a non-starter, but if one wants to know if they're avodah zarah, it's quite complicated. These things, often people say, oh, that's avodah zarah. It's not always. Buddhism, for example, the Chazon Ish said, was not avodah zarah. It was minut, it was heresy. And therefore, it doesn't have the dinim of avodah zarah. Obviously, a Jew is not allowed to be a Buddhist,
But it might have implications for going into Buddhist property, staying in a Buddhist monastery as a hotel or something like that. Hinduism is more obviously idolatrous because there are lots of idols. In the Buddha, they don't bow to the Buddha, but their idols, apparently they do. But even then, it's more complicated, and I brought you two pieces at the bottom about Hinduism as to whether they are Avodah Zarah, a short piece on Hiruhurim, which is an important blog, and a much longer academic article talking about that. So that's another discussion, which is not for now, but a shaila needs to be asked. One of my colleagues was, or someone I know rather, in London, was given the contract, offered the contract to supply the marble for the new Hindu temple that was being built in Wembley at the time. And the shaila was, is he allowed to be part of that? These are interesting shailas that come up. But for now, I think we can leave it. It's clear, in summary, according to almost every single posik you're going to ask, you're not going to be allowed to go into a church for anything today. However, there are those that say otherwise. We saw some of those reasons, and there are legitimate halakhic voices, but they are in a minority, and therefore one has to ask one's own competent rabbinic authority and follow that stack in that way. So please, God, next week we'll go on to a different topic. We'll leave it there for now. Have a good week.